time is 30 minutes past the hour here, and I'm delighted. I was thinking of ways instead of introducing my next guest, and really just his name sort of sums it all up.
Yeah, I guess that most people would know who David Icke is, and you know, his past career and his
broadcast. Well, should we speak to him?
Yeah, he's waiting for us.
Hi, David, how are you?
All right, Morris, how you doing?
How are you? David, I was looking at your website, and we thank you here in REM, just giving us a nice little piece there, but you put Sunday on it, so let's hope that we haven't missed a few of the...
All right.
You put the interview is going to be on tomorrow.
All right, I didn't do that, so...
Wow. Anyway, it doesn't make any difference. We're delighted to have you here, David.
Okay.
We have spoke before, that was many, many years ago.
Uh-huh.
And I want to sort of... I think what we should do tonight, if that's okay with you, let the listeners find out who David Icke is. And what David Icke is all about, because it's important. When I told people today that one of my guests tonight is David Icke, some reaction was, wow, you know, the guy's a bit loopy. And the other people would say, he's a hugely intelligent man. And it's best, you know, instead of people jumping to conclusions, is to hear from the man himself.
Well, the difference between the two attitudes is between those who have bothered to read my work and those who get their instant opinions second-hand from tabloid newspapers.
David,
the difference.
Well, David, you know, we all suffer from that. And one of the things is that I've always made this analysis. If I live next door to Rod Stewart, for example, and people arrived at my house for dinner and said, wow, you live next door to Rod Stewart, I would say, oh, he's only a tosser. You know, it's a throwaway line that I think people use either because they're jealous or they know nothing about the person.
Yeah, I've researched many different subjects over many, many years now, some 15, 16 years full time. The more that you understand about the world, the more you understand that increasingly it's obvious that 99.9% of what people believe is actually not true, not least because the sources of information that give them those instant opinions are not true. And most people are what a friend of mine calls repeaters. Mm-hmm. They just repeat what they've heard from someone else or from somewhere else. And you get lines like, well, everyone knows that, or they say this, and all that stuff. And then you say, well, hold on, how come everyone knows that? How do you know it from? Well, I heard it here. Well, where did that come from? Mm-hmm. And when you trace back these urban legends, if you like, you find that the source is simply unsustainable. But because it's just repeated and repeated and repeated, it becomes the accepted truth, like Osama bin Laden was the mastermind of 9/11. There's no evidence to back it up. In fact, all the evidence suggests otherwise. But because it's repeated, it becomes the accepted fact. And,
yeah.
And it's just repetition, not research, that does it.
Well, let me ask you a few things. I want to clear up something there. We're talking about you, your early years. You were a footballer.
Uh-huh.
And you were then a television pundit, sports pundit. Is that about right?
Well, I was a television presenter, yeah.
Presenter. And then, just to clear this up, were you sacked from television because you said you were the son of God?
No, I wasn't sacked from television. I decided to leave television because it was a vacuous world in which, you know, every day was the same round and round and round of the same monotonous platitudes, substanceless world most of the time. And I left, because I wanted to know the answers to many questions, and that's why I left.
Could you not have studied and asked yourself those questions whilst working on television?
Well, no, because, you know, my life started to change. The synchronicity of my life started to push me in certain directions, and I went with it. And I've never regretted it because it has given me 15, 16 years already of amazing revelation in terms of understanding what is happening in the world and that what we see is not what we get. As the years have passed, particularly since 9/11, tremendous interest has started to grow in my work and my books and stuff because what I was saying in my earlier books is now happening. You know, it's not some Orwellian future that we're looking at. It's an Orwellian daily experience now, gathering by the day. All these years of research and in the early years, ridicule, are now coming to fruition, if you like, as people are starting to say, well, hold on a second. Wasn't this guy saying that there was an agenda to microchip people, 10-15 years
and
ago.
People were calling you crazy then. Do you mind, David, while we're...
But they called people who said the Earth was round crazy, because the prevailing, quote, wisdom, the repeating truth, was that it was flat. So, you know, what's new?
David, when you're on the line, do you mind if people would like, if they would like to phone, we can field a call, or if you don't want that to happen, we can leave it.
It doesn't matter to me.
Okay, well, anyone would like to call and speak to David Icke, it's 902-44-4461, 902-44-4461, if you want to ask David. David, do you mind what we're going to do tonight, if we can? We're going to sort of talk about your books. I'm fascinated by Alice in Wonderland and the World Trade Center.
Yeah, that's extremely relevant to current events, because that started a series of dominoes falling, 9/11, that continues to the present day. And again, if the first domino to fall, i.e. the whole September the 11th story, is a monumental lie in terms of the official version, then every other domino that's fallen since, Afghanistan, Iraq, et cetera, the destruction of our basic freedoms, is also based on a lie. So, you know, 9/11 gets more important in terms of focus rather than less with the passage of years.
Okay, we've got a caller on the line. Her name is Naomi. Naomi, you want to say a good evening to David Icke?
Hello. I never heard of this David.
Well, so, say good evening, first of all.
Good evening. I'm very sorry.
Hello. Yeah, neither is my wife, don't worry. She keeps looking at me and asking me who I am.
No, I cannot be biased or anything like that. And nobody told me about you, just tonight. So, but I found a flaw in your assessment of the situation, because you said that Bin Laden was not responsible. We saw it on the television that he, in the cave, while he was in the cave, he was saying to his friends there, and he sat down there on the floor, and he was saying that he was never thought that he's going to be so successful. So how do you say that he didn't...
Well, in the time we've got now, you know, it would take a long time to explain many things, because this is a web and all the strands fit together. If you talk about one strand without fitting it to the other strands, then, you know, there's you get a false view of the information available. But if you go to my books, this sort of stuff is explained at length. The point being that the official story of 9/11, that these 19 hijackers took over the plane, etc., etc., is completely unsustainable. What you find is that if one thing in the story is true, then another thing in the story can't be true, and if that's true, well, that can't be true. For instance, what we were told, and this is just a classic but very distinctive and relevant example, we were told immediately after the attacks that in a news conference in New York by the FBI and the New York police, that they had found a passport from one of the hijackers. This is a paper passport that somehow miraculously survived, even though we saw the fireball of the two planes. They somehow managed not only to find a paper passport, but realize it was one of the hijackers. A year later, when I went in researching Alice in Wonderland, and this is just one example of endless ones that I detail in the book, and said, could you tell me whose passport this was? Which one of the hijackers was it? They refused to tell me. Why? Because they couldn't tell me. And then an independent television documentary a year after 9/11 in Britain again went to the FBI and said, can you tell us about this hijacker's passport? Whose was it? How was it found, etc.? What about the fireball? And the reply from the FBI, a year after they called a news conference to say they'd found it, and see, it was those Arab hijackers, they said that the Arab hijacker's passport was, quote, a rumor that might be true. Yes. And what you find when you go back to source, and I went to the security people at all the airports and to the FBI, et cetera, you find that when you ask the questions, there are no answers coming back because it was a constructed story.
Sorry to interrupt now. The thing is that you're telling me that, so I'm supposed to believe you. The
same
One moment.
I couldn't care less if you believe me. It's of no, relevance. You must believe what you believe. I'm giving you what I've researched.
Okay, but the thing is, there cannot be two truths. there is one truth. One truth that I am sure about is that I saw with my own eyes and I heard him talking Arabic, and he said that he was so elated that how wonderful. And this scene was repeated on television so many times that I can see it still in my, I can see it in front of me.
Explain to me one thing.
He sat down by the, as he was talking, they were on the floor, and he went, he was standing saying it. He went to the, and he joined them on the floor, and he was so elated, like if he was drunk. He never thought that it's going to be like that, so successful.
So, therefore, the 19 hijackers named by the FBI were responsible for the hijacking, right?
What you're saying about that. Just one thing I want to put you right. My one thing, the truth that it is true, is that what we saw, millions of us saw it, so you cannot contradict me. So, just that. You don't blame him that it's a lie, that he didn't do it.
Okay, no, we have to move on.
He's not guilty, then I mean...
Okay, Nomi, thanks for the question. Thanks a lot, Nomi.
I should read some of the mountain of the deluge of information available not only in my books, but a stream of other books that have come to be published since 9/11, and you'll realize that the official story that he was the mastermind, 19 hijackers, and all this stuff is complete and utter baloney, and they won't answer questions upon it anymore because, quite simply, there are no answers if the official story is going to be sustained.
Well, David, I do have, thanks for taking that call from Naomi, I do have some partners who believe it was a conspiracy. Before we get back, I've just mentioned Alice in Wonderland because it's an extraordinary book, as among many of your books. Can I put to you some names and let's hear your reaction so we can know your feelings about these people? And, of course, I have to start with George Bush.
Well, George Bush comes from a family which is one of a series of bloodlines going back a long, long way into the ancient world, that when you do the research and the genealogical research, you find that the same series of interbreeding bloodlines turn up in positions of power all over the place. When you look at the genealogy of the vast majority of American presidents from George Washington to George W. Bush, it reads as much like a royal dynasty as anything in Europe. Indeed, many of those presidents come from bloodlines that go back to the royal and aristocratic families of Europe. And it's no accident that in a country in which anyone can become president, so people believe, that's what one of the great foundations of support for this is a land of the free, is that anyone can become president. When you really, again, as I was saying earlier, when you get into the research behind the facade and behind the repeating the beliefs, you find that's not true at all. And it's no accident that you have Prescott Bush, the grandfather of the present president, who was fundamentally involved in funding Hitler. As many researchers now, including the president of the Holocaust Museum in Florida, have established, was one of the funders of Adolf Hitler, who then produces Father George Bush, who became head of the CIA, head of the Republican Party at the time of the Watergate hearings, vice president, president, and many other
influential
positions.
Sorry.
And then his son becomes president. Now, this is a royal dynasty. This is not the land of the free. Anyone can become president.
Sorry, we've got a caller, David. Can we take, good evening, caller.
Hello, I want to ask Mr. Oleg. I mean, this is the only relevant to what I was saying. Does he actually believe, literally, the extraterrestrial reptiles are in his positions of power, or is it a thinly veiled anti-Semitic reference as Mossad itself believes?
I didn't hear a word of that.
Nor did I. Sorry, you're on a mobile phone, caller. Could you just move somewhere that we can pick you up clearly?
Okay, is that any better?
David, can you hear that?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Well,
okay, do you literally believe that these bloodlines are extraterrestrial reptiles, or is it an anti-Semitic reference, which Mossad itself believes? Mossad believes that your stance on these bloodlines, which include a lot of Jewish bloodlines in America, which you have actually accused of being extraterrestrial reptiles, Mossad believes it is, in fact, and in many right-wing skinhead groups also believe that it's an anti-Semitic reference, and your policies are very anti-Semitic.
When did you talk to Mossad?
I haven't, but I've read a lot about stuff.
Where?
And I do believe, and I saw them on television once, saying that they believe that you're
Explain to me, when did you talk
to
Mossad?
It was on British television about 3-4 years ago. In a program, and they had Mossad on. They represented Mossad, saying that he believes that your policies
regarding the bloodline, which you
have mentioned, or the judge.
Give me, was I on the program you're talking about?
Yeah. Reference to you, but in a program about you, rather than your own program.
Well, it wasn't Mossad.
It was a BBC program.
The point is.
Anyway, I don't much phone, so if you carry on some of the phone there.
Gold.
Okay. David, I suppose the type of books type of your writings that you make, you will get this sort of response.
Yeah, the thing is that if you want to discredit what someone's doing, then you just throw mud at them in every direction
because
you know something's gonna stick. And it's like the old thing, have you stopped beating your wife? Whichever way you answer the question, you can't win. And what happens is repeaters, like the last caller, hear these things. I mean, he's talking about Mossad. I've never been on a program in which Mossad was quoted. They just then throw this repeating rubbish with no substance, no research, no background at you, just as the same repeating mind accepts what's thrown at them through the media and believe that, and that becomes the truth. This is why 99.999% of what people believe is actually not true. You know, and it's funny that I can name, and I counted them in my books, I went through all my books, I can name 90% of people in my books who are not Jewish as being involved in this, like the Bush family and the Rockefellers and endless bloody others, and yet I name a few, like Henry Kissinger and the Rothschild dynasty that are, and suddenly I'm anti-Semitic.
Why am I not anti-British
for talking about Blair and the British royal family?
David, are you
anti- frustrating because the people are being manipulated because people just accept this rubbish and then repeat it because everyone knows that. I mean, it makes you despair.
But David, this is the whole platform of your beliefs, that this repeating is the thing that is all wrong. So you can't be surprised that people do it.
Oh, I'm not surprised.
Okay,
no,
can I ask you?
Can
I ask you? Are you anti-Semitic? Do you have Jewish friends?
I do. I mean, it's just rubbish. Now, if you want to hurl abuse at people, then he's anti-Semitic.
Yeah.
Load of rubbish.
Okay, right.
When you actually go further and you look at what I'm saying about the nature of reality, I'm actually saying in my books, not only is racism horrific, it's actually ludicrous because the physical body. And all the stuff about race and all that business, it's just a mind prison. It's not what we are. But we get caught in the idea that, I'm British and I'm white and I'm black and all this stuff, when actually we're all a single consciousness. Does that sound racist to you?
No.
It's the opposite of it.
In fact, the
repeaters just go on repeating the rubbish, and then more repeaters believe what they say purely by hearing them.
It's like a bit like pyramid sales, I suppose.
Oh, exactly.
You know, David, let's talk about something. Certainly, there's the books that you've written that I can't get my head into the policy. But there are things that you have written that I think, in my mind, are extremely important, and that is the exposing of people like Benny Hinn, because I think these lowlifes should be exposed for what they are. These are money-grabbing people who hide behind the coattails of God, and I think that more and more publicity should be made about them to warn people.
Well, I think, I have my views on religion. I think, personally, religion is the greatest form of mind control ever invented, because we're dealing here with all possibility, and yet religions tend to build walls which shut out all possibility if it's outside the belief system.
Are you agnostic?
I don't have any belief in organized religion.
Do you believe in the Almighty?
I say that everything is one consciousness, and increasingly quantum physicists are supporting with their findings exactly that. When I talked years ago about being a son of God. I was talking about being an aspect of the whole. And I was saying that we're all, if you want to use that symbolism, we're all sons of God and daughters of God, because we're all expressions of this one consciousness. If you want to call that one consciousness God, please feel free. Who, call it Ethel if you like. It's just, it just is.
Who, David, and thanks, David Icke on the line. Who, and who else? Who is Jesus Christ?
I don't think there was one. When you do again the serious research into that, and a friend of mine, a scientist friend of mine in America, who was a very strong advocate of Christianity, he set out in the 60s to prove that Jesus existed, and in very little time he found himself proving that he didn't. When you look at the story of Jesus, it's a repeat of a constantly recurring story that goes back thousands of years of the Son of God who is born to a miraculous conception, who then goes on to be the teacher, and then dies and is crucified. I mean, this is a repeating story using different names. Mithra, Jesus, Tammuz in Babylon. It's all the same basic story. See, I don't accept the existence of a literal Jesus, no.
You see, one of the things that I remember seeing once on television many years ago was a person who went to study, as you did, the story of Jesus and find out as much factual evidence as they could find. And they had seen or got involved with people who had dug up put forward the Dead Sea Scrolls, which I think are now in the Vatican, which were written at the time of Christ, Jesus Christ, but never mentioned him, and that worried them a lot.
Yeah, well, the thing is, Maurice, that, again, when you do the research, you find that, again, this is one of the major centers of this secret society network that calls itself the Illuminati, was ancient Babylon. Now, what happened was this headquarters was moved eventually from Babylon to Rome. And with that relocation, the religion of Babylon was taken to Rome, and just the names changed. This is why you find that the religious days of Babylon became the religious days of Christianity. This is why you find that in Babylon, thousands of years before Christianity, they had a trinity of Nimrod, the fish, who was called the father, Queen Semiramis, the goddess figure, who was known as the Virgin Queen, who gave a miraculous conceptive birth to Tammuz, the son. And they said that Tammuz and Nimrod, the father, were one, father and son were one. And you had everything that the Roman Church, relocated to Rome, gave basically to Mother Mary, was what they had taken from the Babylon myths of Queen Semiramis. She was known as the Queen of Heaven.
Wow, David, you've got information there.
And you have Isis and Horus, the Virgin Mother and Son, yeah, and the Father Osiris, and you get the same recurring story. Then you go to Mithra, which is the same recurring story. These were basically sun gods. Again and again you find the recurring theme of sun worship. For example, a classic. So many of these Jesus figures under another name were giving the birthday of what became our December the 25th. Why? Because at the winter solstice, December 21, 22, they said that the sun, the literal one in the sky, had died. It had reached the lowest point of its power in the northern hemisphere. 3 days later, which became our December the 25th, they said in their sun worship, the sun was born or born again because it had started its journey to the peak of its power in the summer. And this is why Mithra, another mirror of the Jesus story, was given the birthday of December the 25th, and so many of the others were. It's symbolic rather than literal. And by taking the symbolic literal and by the religion selling the symbolic as literal, we have whole religions, not just Christianity, by the way, whole religions that have been created out of sun worship and spawned hero figures that were just symbolic.
David, some of these, a lot of these religious scribes are very clever, learned men. Do you ever ask yourself the question of why they have been suckered in by this, where you have recognized it as just being repeated and built out of almost myths?
Well, first of all, it's not just me. There is a tremendous amount of material, very detailed books by people who have actually focused only on this area of research. Also, you know, when you've got yourself a religion, and you've got yourself the bricks and mortar, you've got yourself the structure, you've got yourself the power structure and everything, then the last thing you want to hear about, never mind go there, is that the whole basis on which the religion stands is actually not true. And I saw a documentary at Christmas, a very long one on British television, where a theologian professor went on a journey to look at the existence, or more than that, look at the where the Bible came from and to see what the sources were. And he found very quickly that the sources were, we don't know. No one knows or even suggests with any authority where the Gospels came from. They certainly weren't written by contemporary people to the man that's called Jesus. And, you know, we see in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and people, again, repeating without question, tend to accept they were the disciples. No, the disciples in the story never wrote the Gospels. No one actually knows. And he then had a problem because he'd been brought up a Christian, and now he's finding, actually, hey, you know, there is no source of where these things came from. And then he talked to other people in university research positions into theology who were also saying, well, actually, yes, we don't know really who wrote this. And we do know, they were saying, that at certain points when the Roman Catholic Church, the Roman Church was being formed, and later, the actual text would change to suit the political thing.
David,
at the moment.
We have a caller. Sorry, David.
The question was asked, well, how can you remain a Christian when you have seen with your own research that all this stuff on which the religion is based was changed, and that you don't know what the sources are? And the reply was from these academic professors was, well, we think that those that changed the Bible were inspired by God to do it. So what I'm saying is, once you have a preconceived idea, and this is not just in terms of religion, but in so many other areas of life, you tend to defend the preconceived idea against all borders. And it's having an open mind and saying, hey, well, maybe that was not quite right what I believed before.
Sure, David, we've got a caller. A good evening, caller.
Hi, good evening.
Say hello to David. David, who's on the line?
John Fungarola.
Hello, John. John, David, is John and Fungarola calling you?
Yes.
Right. What's your question?
I just wonder if he's also read Jesus 100 Years Before Christ, A Study in Creative Mythology by Professor Alvar Ellegaard. It's a shame that people like Mr. Icke don't have access to the Vatican Library. We'd find a lot more information.
Well, why don't the people have access to the Vatican Library? Why isn't the Vatican Library and what's in it made public in a way that people can access? Why is it hidden away?
Why indeed?
Exactly.
are you trying to say you agree with David's saying, Paul?
Oh, certainly, yes.
Oh, there you are,
read
David.
The book.
Yes,
Jesus,
exactly. I mean, this is the thing, Maurice. You know, the call is absolutely right. What he's making here. We have a mainstream media, and I don't just mean mainstream newspapers and mainstream television. We have mainstream book publishers and all this stuff. And as long as you control that mainstream arena, where the vast overwhelming majority of people gain their information, i.e., their sense of reality, then the vast majority of people are going to go through their lives believing something, even though a vast amount of published information is available showing that it's not true. But they never see it. This is the whole point. It's about if I control the information you receive, Maurice, through your life, I could get you to see the world in a very different way to how you would.
Can we just let that caller go? We've got we let that call. I just need to hold that caller. Well, there you are, David, someone who was agreeing with you. Now, I want to move just onto another subject that I think this subject maybe, and I want to just clarify on this subject, is the subject that most people find it hard. I can understand what you're saying. We're just going to call it. We'll take this in. No, we won't. I don't want to take repeat calls, caller. I don't want to take repeat calls. Yeah, the subject of aliens.
How appropriate.
Yeah, the subject. Yeah, repeats. The subject of aliens and your belief in aliens.
Well, it's not. Well, I mean, you know, again, this is a line that people, you know, talk about. He believes in aliens. Well, let's look at what I'm saying. And again, let's look at something that most people have no idea is actually the case, but as science has found, it is. Of what is known to exist in this one universe, we can see with our eyes a minute, almost immeasurable fraction. Of what is known to exist, the electromagnetic spectrum is only 0.005%, and our eyes can see only a fraction, known as visible light, of that 0.005%. Now, because people get stuck with the fact that, oh, they're looking through their eyes, so they, therefore they can see everything that exists in the space they're looking at, the idea that entities exist in other frequencies of existence outside this tiny, tiny frequency range of visible light that our eyes can see, they find it incredible to believe that these other entities that look anything but human could possibly exist. But I say to them, look at the diversity in form in this tiny, almost immeasurable frequency range that our eyes can access and therefore see. And imagine what the diversity is like in the 99.99999% recurring that we can't see. And this is why if we really want to understand what's going on in the world, we've got to open our minds and realize, as one writer said, that in terms of seeing what exists in the universe, human sight is blind. So it's outside the frequency range of human sight that these entities that I talk about exist. And this is where we get all these ancient legends and folklores, right up to the present day, of this so-called possession, where entities take over the thinking and emotional processes and therefore the physical actions of people in human bodies. This is a thing that goes back as long as history goes back. It's because they are operating outside the frequency range of visible sight. And some people who have what we call the sixth sense or psychic sight can see these entities. And throughout history, right up to the present day, the same recurring stories are told if people actually want to bother to listen to what people are saying and what they've experienced.
We've got a caller. We'll just take it in there. Good evening, Barry.
Yeah, good evening, Maurice. I just wonder whether David had seeked or soaked psychiatric help.
Have you?
Sorry?
Have you?
Yes.
For what reason?
I have a certificate. Do you?
No. Have you sought psychiatric help?
Yes.
Right. Oh, good. Because I haven't.
Why? Sorry, David.
Amazing. You did, David.
Someone comes on the phone and throws out these lines. How has he sought psychiatric help? Having never met me, you know.
No, but I have followed your career over many years, David.
Oh, right. Okay.
The
answer is no, and I don't see any point in continuing, this ridiculous line of questioning. Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks, caller.
If you think I need it, good luck to you.
Thanks, caller. Right, I mean, David, you, a person in your position, of course, and the many shows you've done over the years must have fielded many, many calls, and some of them are not always supportive of what you do. David, can I just ask you, you've got an excellent website, by the way.
Anyone
who's listening to us right now would like to go onto that website, please do. The best way to do it, it's www.davidike.com, I believe. And there's an extraordinary amount of reading on that. One of the things I came across, which was laterally just before the show, was a book called, and I know it's not by you, but you've got it on your website, called War and Peace. Can you explain that book?
No, I can't. The thing is that, the webmaster who looks after the site, he gets paid by his book company called Hidden Mysteries, which he sells on the site.
Therefore, oh, okay, okay.
The books that he has have nothing to do with me.
So these winners of the M-Law competition of the wackiest warning labels are all are from the post of the New Scientist. Again, it's not something you controlled on your site. I thought they were quite funny, actually.
Page, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I love this. Your first prize that you've awarded, David, is a sign that says, do not use for personal hygiene, and that was on a toilet brush.
No, there's some good ones there. But that's not my awards. That comes from the
I know. But yeah. I just was wondering now that you told me that the whole site wasn't just down to you. But it is an extraordinary site. Now, your new book is called Tales from the Time Loop.
That's the latest one, yeah.
Yeah. First of all, about your books and your writing, what inspires you? We'll just take this call quickly. Hello, caller.
Hello.
Whom I've got on the line?
This is Lynette on the Schooner Leopard Normand.
Who is it?
Lynette Woods on the Schooner Leopard Normand in Adra in Almeria.
Oh, hello, Lynette. How are you from Almeria? David Icke on the line. David is Lynette.
Hiya.
Hi, Dave. Good evening. Enjoying the show very much indeed. While on the subject of third-party books, just wondered if you'd ever read Rule by Secrecy by the author Jim Mars, and if so, what you thought of it?
Yeah, I know Jim. He's very good. There are some good researchers about, and what's very compelling, I mean, Jim's also written a book on 9/11, and what's compelling is that, you know, the same information, the same demolition of the official story recurs in all of them. So, I like Jim. I like Jim a lot. I think he's a good guy.
Did you say you're on the Casablanca caller?
No.
Oh, sorry. I thought you said you were on the Casablanca. Well, listen, thanks for the question.
I'm in Almeria, and thank you very much for entertaining me.
Okay.
Pleasure.
Good evening.
Bye-bye, Lynette. Right. Just the subject of your books, David, do you publish your own books, or do you have a publisher?
No, I publish my own books. My early books were published by publishers, but they disappeared over the horizon once I started naming names. Because they feared the consequences. Well, there have been no consequences because I check my facts.
Okay, we have a repeater. So we have a repeater on the line.
I publish my own books and have done for a long time.
Okay, okay. Now do you have a following? I mean, you're not a church, and how do you describe yourself, David?
I'm someone who is trying to find answers to questions, simple as that. And in terms of followers, no, I don't have followers. You see, if anyone, quote, follows me, then they're not listening. Because we have had so many different ways that we can follow someone else, religions and the celebrity religion that we have today, all this stuff where people are following someone else, where people have got a crick in their neck through looking up at someone on a pedestal. And what I'm saying is we are all infinite consciousness. We are all the same one consciousness. No one, and again, you know, this anti-Semitic stuff is so funny when you see what I'm actually saying. We're all one consciousness. No one is above anyone else. We all have the same access to this, infinite consciousness that we are. And therefore, let's express that as who we are instead of playing little me, looking up at other people and following someone else. Again, what do you do when you're following someone else? You're repeating what someone else is saying.
Okay, we've got to
find our own truth. We've got to not get someone else's off the peg.
We've got a repeater on the line. It's Nomi, our first caller. Nomi, you're back on. What's the question?
Well, I just want to say I heard him now, David. I hope that I didn't hurt you, because it was very shocking to me that anybody who can say what you said about Bin Laden. But the rest what you say, that now I heard you, I think you are very intelligent and you have that sixth sense, and I think that you think correctly. So I apologize for if I hurt you.
No problem.
Okay,
no,
thanks, Toby. We've got another caller.
I'll tell you what it is.
Okay, David, I'm going to take it. David.
When you've been doing what I've been doing all these years, 15, 16 years, it gets very, very frustrating when you get the same repeating reaction, like the guy talking about, have you seen a psychiatrist? And, you know, it's like I've been there 1,000 and more times before. And I spend every day of my life virtually researching this stuff, looking into areas that most people never look into. And then I see people, And again, people must believe what they want to believe,
okay.
But they dismiss things,
David,
without researching it.
We've got a call.
On what basis are they dismissing it?
We've got a call from the UK. Good evening, caller. Hello, caller.
Hello?
Hello, yes, good evening.
Hello, yeah, I'm enjoying the show. Hello to David Icke. Yeah,
I'm
from London. I'm really enjoying the show. I think a lot of people really need to start thinking because, like, you're doing the research and they're not. So
you're calling from London. You're obviously listening and streaming on the internet.
Yeah, I'm listening, streaming through the internet.
Excellent. Okay.
So I'm a little behind. But I was just saying that a lot of people need to do more research themselves and not really believing, like, what they hear in mainstream education and stuff like that.
I couldn't agree more, because what is mainstream education? It is the official version of life indoctrinated into children from an early age until they leave university. And, you know, a lot of the stuff that I've learned over the years of this research, just 15, 16 years, has actually been unlearning what society has told me to believe. It's not actually in many areas learning something new. It's deprogramming from the sense of reality that society indoctrinates into people.
Yeah, I visited the university this week in Nottingham, and I was just seeing. I don't go to university myself because I don't like really agree with the system, but I was seeing how like the universities are structured and what they do to like the kids, like all like alcohol and all the suppression of their brains and like. Just getting them to go clubbing, like, every week and just, like, all that kind of thing.
Negative vibrations.
Okay,
yeah,
caller.
It's interesting when you look at education because, I think education's a wonderful thing. I just think it's about time we add some.
Yeah, really.
Gandhi was once asked what he thought of Western civilization, and he said, I think it would be a very good idea. I think education would be a very good idea, because most of it's just indoctrination of a belief system. And the way it works is this, again, the repeating system. You go through school, and if you're really, really good at repeating in exams what the system has told you to believe, then you can go on to teacher training college and become a teacher. At the teacher training college, they teach you how to teach the curriculum, which is decided by someone else, and then you go out into a school and you teach the curriculum to the next generation of people, and they then have to tell the system what it wants to hear by saying what it wants to hear in exams, and the whole system goes on and on and on, round and round, generation into generation. It's intergenerational indoctrination.
David,
and to break this circle, break this cycle, we have to say, hold on, what do I believe? Never mind what am I being told to believe, and can I ask some questions about this, please? But then you'll say, hey, sorry, Mrs. Smith, your little Johnny is very disruptive influence in the classroom. What do you mean? Well, he's asking questions all the time. And you know, it's well, no wonder we've got problems in the schools when people are being indoctrinated.
David,
are refusing to be so. Hallelujah.
We've got a problem here because so many people are trying to get through to you. We've got Bertha on the line. Bertha, make it quick because we're running out of time.
Okay. Really interesting. Brilliant talking. Thank you. Thank you very much for this. I have had a gut feeling for I think the past 25 years, that there is a system of de-education going on.
Exactly.
And I would like your view on that. I think that our young people are being shortchanged and manipulated horribly.
What we've had, you're very, very
I'll
good
go
point.
Off and hear.
Okay, thanks, Bertha.
Okay, right across the system, and I saw this because I was a journalist and television presenter in the media through the late 70s and all through the 80s. When I first started in television, there was still some substance to television news. You could still have an interview of some reasonable length. What we then had, and it came out of America, was soundbite television. So now you have news reports on big issues that basically are made up of very short reports, little clips of interviews with people, 10 seconds, 15 seconds, and increasingly in Britain and America, the analysis of the day's news story comes from the newsreader asking some journalist, who often knows nothing about it, he's just been given that job that day, telling us what we should believe.
David, we have our last caller.
Situation.
Hello, caller.
And in education, exactly the same is happening. It's getting more and more, as they call it in America, dumbed down. And if you don't use the brain, as with any muscle, it stops working and being as sharp and strong as it could be.
David, let's field this last call. Good evening, caller.
Hi.
Yeah, hi.
This is the most fantastic interview we've ever heard on your program. David, it's superb, and thank you very much for a very entertaining program.
Thank you. I wish we could get into the run-up to the war on terror as well, because I've got a document that from the very people behind the Bush administration, who are in the Bush administration, September 2000, that lists everything they want to do.
Well, David,
and
thanks,
and it's everything the Bush administration has followed since that day, including the invasion of Iraq. It's all a scam. They want Iran next. It's in the document.
David, shall we?
There's a rise saying about Syria and Iran this very week. That's in the document. Syria and Iran are what they want next. It's a scam, ladies and gentlemen. They're having you on, and it's a global fascist state that they want.
David, let's see if we can speak to your wife and rearrange part two of this, because the reaction in this studio has been absolutely phenomenal tonight.
Well, tell you what, Maurice, if we could talk about this, what I've just been talking
let's
about.
Let's do
now,
that in
I'll
part two.
Out, ABC, the whole story. It won't take that long.
No, David,
I'd be delighted to come back.
We would love to have you back here, David. We thank you for coming on the show. Remember, David, David Icke's excellent web page, which is www.davidicke.com. DavidIcke.com. Have a look at that. We'll try to reschedule part two of this interview. Thanks for joining us, David Icke, on the show this evening.
Thank you, Mark. It's been a-